airport, and there put on a plane to Morocco, where his father, or someone, would be waiting to receive him. He was to live the life of a professional diplomat's child from this point forward, forever passing from one world to another, Toronto to Bombay to Vladivostok, his weeks and months a seemingly never-ending parade of vacations. And he couldn't have been more bored. Which was precisely what he was feeling when he was sitting in Place Jean Jaurès in Marseille on that warm Tuesday morning in April. If you were as world-wise and world-weary as Charlie was, you would know that Marseille is a very famous French port town on the Mediterranean Sea. And if you'd spent as much time as Charlie had on airplanes, hacking through a reading list that had been prescribed by your tag-along tutor, you'd know that Edmond Dantès, the hero of Dumas' The Count of Monte Cristo, had lived out his imprisonment in the Chateau d'If, which sat on a small island off the coast of Marseille. And if you'd received as many lectures on safety as Charlie had by his stern father and his small army of assistants and secretaries, you'd know that many consider Marseille to be something of a thieves' paradise. The idea excited Charlie. A haven for the criminal underbelly of the world here in his own backyard. It was a welcome change from Zurich's sterile and modern avenues, from Hong Kong's restricted zones. It was the sort of thing that got Charlie's 12-year-old imagination firing on all cylinders. However, once he'd spent a few weeks at his new home, he soon realized that if there was one epidemic currently endangering the lifeblood of Marseille, it was this. Tourists. Noisy. Complaining. Tourists. Charlie used this discovery, however, to good effect. He'd made a deal with his tutor, a perpetually cranky 25-year-old man named Simon, that writing 500-word stories based on people he'd seen on the street would count toward his English composition credits. A deal was struck. A short story writer was born. Charlie most enjoyed reimagining the interior world of the huddled masses of tourists, recently disgorged from some waiting cruise ship, who wandered the streets and squares of the city. And that was how he came to be sitting on a wooden bench, observing and recording the wayward sightseers in Marseille's bustling market at the Place Jean Jaurès on that Tuesday morning. A frowning young woman in sunglasses trailed listlessly after a middle-aged man as he inspected the market's many wares. Charlie's fountain pen, a silver Schaefer Imperial given to him by his father for his 11th birthday, hovered above the lined paper of his composition notebook briefly before beginning the following passage. She was an heiress to a sugar beet fortune. He was a traveling snake oil salesman. They met on a yacht. He promised her eternal youth. She had to follow him around the world as he collected the necessary ingredients for the potion. Little did she know, it was a search that would last a lifetime. He cocked his head sideways as he reread what he'd written. A smile bloomed across his face. He ironed out the next page with the palm of his hand. "What are you doing?" came a voice, speaking slightly accented English. "Pardon me?" Charlie looked over and saw a young boy, dressed in drainpipe blue jeans and a white T-shirt, sitting next to him on the bench. His light brown skin and dark hair suggested he was of Middle Eastern descent. "This is the first time you've heard Charlie speak. So you should know that he spoke in a low, quiet voice that over the last year had throttled about two steps lower. He was, understandably, a little shy about the change. At the behest of his mother, he'd seen a speech pathologist when he was 8, addressing a slight stutter he'd adopted during his kindergarten year. He managed to shake the impediment, but in the meantime developed a habit of, as his father called it, speaking into his chin, whatever that meant. But we must trust the elder Fisher's observation, and so you are instructed to read Charlie's dialogue in such a fashion. Keep in mind, however, that this rule will apply only to the first 12 chapters. After that point, you will find that Charlie...